listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Heads up! Ooh, woo! Heads up! Get your dance on! Another one. We've got the Ramona Trap tonight on Real Housewives of New York, Season 6, Episode 11. My name is Lindsay Wegner. I am your host for the evening, and tonight I am joined by
Courtney Henderson.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's just the two of us ladies tonight. We will welcome back Stephanie and Ashley, I believe, next week. So we'll have all four back on the panel. We were just talking that so much happened in this episode. It was a lot.
Yeah, I'm actually selfishly a little happy that it's just two of us because I feel like I have a lot more to say and there's like time to say it now.
Absolutely.
But I will be excited to have them back. And I'm excited to be back. So.
Yeah, that's right, because you were here
last week. Got to make up for last week and chat a little face off.
So we start the episode back in the Berkshires, the final day.
Yes.
I feel like we've been there for weeks now.
We have.
And not that it's a bad thing, but I just kind of want to get away from that drama that I feel like has just continued.
From there
and still like rearing its head. So we're still back in the Berkshires temporarily. The women are all hungover from the previous night of drinking after Ramona has left and ended up in the Hamptons. And they've got an early a.m. yoga session. I was worried, genuinely worried for Sonia. I thought she was going to like crash and just break a bone or something just because she was hungover and not.
So bad. Yeah. I was feeling for her. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody in real life like that hungover.
Have you done hungover yoga?
No. I've never done yoga, period. So
really?
Yes, really.
Wow.
So I cannot relate. All I can say is I have yet to do it, you know, sober. I can't imagine trying to do it hungover.
Well, any type of working out when you've been drinking is obviously a little bit more difficult and stuff. You're sweating out the toxins and the alcohol. But I feel like yoga is such like a mind frame and set, and you need to have balance. And when you're hungover the next day, half the people are still dizzy and spinning.
You can't balance. Not well.
It probably was good detoxifying.
Well, my favorite was Carol when she's like, I know the child's pose and I heard you can always do this pose. Like if you can't do the move or like you need a little break, like you can always resort to child's pose. And she was just like taking that and like running with it. And corpse pose. I don't know what that was.
I think.
But it sounds like another like very
just
lay chill
there.
Move. Yeah, basically.
Just lay there like a dead body.
That's kind of what I picture. So. I'm like, yeah, I could probably do that hungover.
So we get to see them kind of talking too about Ramona being gone and the fact that she went to the Molly Sims's party. Some of them were joking around. There was a little bit of anger and tension. Sonia's still very, very mad at Ramona. And they're still planning this confrontation / intervention.
Yeah.
So we know it's going to happen. We get back to New York. And we see Carol prepping for a magazine shoot for Bella.
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
Oh.
I loved her like two sentences that she had written. I know it was only two and it was an emergency, but I love like just those two. I was like, I would read this article. I would need to go find it.
In town and country, she had Luann come and help her because she was doing a gift giving manners thing. And obviously Luann being the queen of manners and being polite and everything. She was a great help, obviously, since she only had two sentences started. And they were talking about gift giving and what do you do when you come to a house? I mean, are you the type of person? I always bring something with me when I go somewhere.
I always bring something with me also. And it's so funny because I have one friend who invites me to a lot of things to like go with her as her plus one, you know, unofficially, like there's not formal invitations sent out. But, you know, always ask, okay, should I bring something? Because, like, these are, like, mm-hmm. these are your people. You know them. And she always tells me yes. And I always ask, okay, you know, like, are they a wine group? Or, you know, like, what should I bring? And she always kind of gives me ideas. Usually it's wine. But it's so funny because she never brings anything. And so I don't know if, like, bringing something is, like, her way of bringing something.
Like, or, because she's inviting you, therefore you have to get the gift?
Well, like, I don't know. Like, I showed up at a gathering, and I was the only person that brought something. And she had told me to bring it.
Well, I mean,
it's very bizarre.
You don't look bad by bringing something.
Oh, no.
So at least you're...
But it just was one of those
You're the cool
like,
one at the party.
Like, I showed up, and I was, like, more formally dressed, and, like, the whole works, and everyone else is there, like, in their jeans and, like, just hanging out, you know, like... And it was just, like, one of those things where it's just like, oh, okay. I mean, I didn't feel bad, but it was just like, I always have to come with something. I feel mm-hmm. like I always do, especially when it's people, you know, I'm young. Like, a lot of these people are more established, older, clearly have more money. And I never wanted to seem like I'm just like this young person out for like
taking
a free
it for
thing.
Granted,
yeah. And... You know, so like, I always want to show my appreciation. I mean, and I was raised that way. I mean, I was raised, like, I went to finishing school as a little girl. So I very much like learned Luann's book, like, through my upbringing.
So. Well, I like that Luann gave the idea of a really nice candle or flowers, but with flowers you have to bring a vase with you so that, you know, you don't have to interrupt the hostess.
Yeah, I love the candle idea. I've never heard that, and I really think that that's a good one.
I've never brought a candle either somewhere, but I do think it's
hard. I'll bring that next.
but I'm also a smell person, so, like, I like specific scents. So I guess if somebody's going to bring me something, I'm not going to turn it down. Right. But, you know, like, some people are very particular about how their house smells. They may really like lemon or, like, beach scents, and somebody may not want lavender or rose. Like, I know some people, like, I'm super sensitive to rose smells, aside from the real thing.
Yeah.
When they're fake, they just
even
smell really, really fake to me. But I absolutely 100% agree with the thought of bringing something as a gift. I just think that, and you always see that in all the Housewives shows. They're always bringing.
Very good.
Yeah, they're all really, really good with it. What did you think of her comments about, okay, so you're dating a guy.
Oh, I
whether
love
you've
this.
Slept with him or not, what kind of gift do you get him?
See, and I wouldn't even think about it like sex versus no sex. Just in general, like, who hasn't been in that situation or had a friend or a roommate or whoever that it's like, okay, you know, his birthday or Valentine's Day is the other one. Those are the two, birthdays and Valentine's Day, where it's like, what do you get them? We're not serious enough to be like a legitimate gift, but it's like headed that way and looking good. So I don't want to not acknowledge it at all. And I thought Luann's ideas, I think I wrote them down. Oh, no, I didn't.
She said
cologne or...
book prior to sex and massage or cologne.
After.
Or, yeah.
Something after. I think the massage is a good idea because you don't have to be a part of it
mm-hmm.
necessarily, but it also kind of has a sensual hint to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so it's sort of like, it's a good middle ground. At the same time, you know, they can be upwards of, you know, anywhere from like what, $50, $60, $80 on up,
mm-hmm.
you know? So again, depending on the city and where you live and your age range, it's like, okay, maybe this is like still a little bit expensive for a gift. Maybe not at, you know, Carol's age.
Sure.
You know, later in life clearly has the money to spend mm-hmm. $150 on a massage. If she wants to.
Mm-hmm. But in your 20s, it might be a little
bit. Yeah, you know. So, I mean, I would say for me, like, something like that, more along the lines of, like, cooking for him or, mm-hmm. you know, just, like, taking him out or...
planning a picnic in the park or doing something. Like, in Los Angeles, you could go to the Getty and, like, plan a picnic and bring a bottle of wine type thing. I think that article, it was going in Town and Country, so
yeah.
I believe that magazine's a little bit more for a more mature woman, I would say, probably in her late 30s,
someone
40s,
with a house
50s.
To...
Something with,
yeah.
that lives in the Town and Country.
Right. Someday we'll be there, ladies.
But I think what an interesting article, especially for gift-giving for women at that age, maybe who are divorced or just starting dating or married. I think that's actually a great article for her to put out and have out there. And something beneficial for all ages. I mean, I feel like they're
it can apply to us.
Absolutely.
You know, just because I don't have a town and country home to decorate and live in and host in doesn't mean I can't give like them.
She's so cute. And her relationship with Luann is really, really
becoming much stronger. I'm glad Luann's here this season.
I am too.
Like, looking at it, I couldn't imagine her not being on it part-time. You know, at least part-time. Like, I really wish she was here full-time.
Is this her being there part-time? Because I feel like she's a full-time housewife.
I think she technically is part-time.
Oh, God. Well, I wouldn't want any less of her. I love her. I think she's hilarious.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. I want more.
Exactly.
I want more. Maybe there's more of her now with Aviva gone. Because we haven't had Aviva for a few.
A couple weeks.
She tweeted during tonight's episode that she will be back next week. And we see that in the
preview.
But, yeah.
But maybe that's why she's been around more in the past couple episodes. So then we get to Kristen and Heather meeting in Central Park to kind of talk about the intervention that's going to be coming up with Ramona. And Kristen says she's actually not going to be there.
I think that's probably smart. I think that it needed to come from her friends. The intervention needed to come from Ramona's friends. And Kristen isn't and hasn't been thus far. And it doesn't look like is going to be. You know, and so I think that was smart on Kristen's part. Even though she was not going, it sounded like more for personal reasons, not about like doing what's better for Ramona, but just for her. She wasn't ready. She didn't want to do it. She doesn't really have Ramona's best interest, I don't think, at this point. She's just trying to take care of herself, as she should, given the circumstances. So I thought that it was great that Heather wasn't in any way. Yeah. No, I mean, she totally got it. And I loved how Heather just like totally took a couple bites or licks of Cash's ice cream. It just goes to show, because, you know, we had her in studio. It just goes to show that they really are friends and that they really do hang out on and off camera. Because you don't just go eat like your friend's little kid's ice cream unless you're like good friends, you know.
That was cute. And I definitely agree with Heather's perspective in the situation, saying, you know, Ramona really needs to be apologetic, and the crocodile tears that she cried after, you know, what happened just weren't okay. So I was just glad to kind of see Heather taking a stance on it and saying, you know, we need to approach her and tell her. Talking about somebody's house being a garage and not having AC and being unappreciative of a weekend she's planned needs to come up and needs to be talked about.
It didn't look like it came up, at least not in what they showed us.
A little teeny tiny bit of it. Yeah. So let's jump right into the intervention and the plan of the seating chart.
I loved that.
And knowing
first of all,
they have to make sure Ramona is somehow boxed in.
And I love how Sonia knew she'd push her couldn't be her. She actually sat the farthest away, which I thought was very interesting altogether. Not to mention, what were these outfits? I mean, I love Heather, but what was she wearing?
I always love what Heather's wearing, and today I felt like it was...
What was the material? I couldn't even...
Trench coat type dress thing? I was very confused, right? But I actually loved Sonia's... Jean jumpsuit.
Yeah, which I am all about denim. I loved it. I do feel like it was a little young for her. Mm-hmm. But you did kind of say it's a little bit like 70s throwback. So, I guess in that case, it's like, okay, she has every right to wear it.
And she looked good in it.
I didn't live in the 70s.
She looks good in it.
No, she looks fabulous.
If she didn't look good in it, then I'd be like, okay,
yeah,
maybe.
There are 20-somethings that ought not be wearing that before she doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, she's killing it. But it just felt a little like I'm trying to look young to me, you know, but she is sort of that free spirit, young at heart girl.
I mean,
so,
she had her.
And she rocked it.
She had Tushy hanging out last week in her leopard print thong in her nightie. So, I mean, we know.
Maybe I should be grateful.
We know Sonia is not, you know, modest.
Right.
When it comes to, you know, I mean, I think she's modest around the other girls. She was modest around Kristen when they were getting a spray tan, remember? But
that was more because Kristen has such an amazing body.
6'1", beautiful, amazing model. So yeah,
I would feel. I wouldn't invite Kristen over for a spray tan any day.
So we finally get them set. And the first thing we get is Luann asking Ramona about Molly Sims' party.
Oh, my gosh.
And right for the jugular right away.
Right? I love Luann because it's one of those things where she finds this way to just sort of like go right into the meat of it. But she's not abrasive or
not
rude.
Not really confrontational.
Yeah, there's just something about the way that she brings it up where she's, like, being direct and just, like, calling it out. But, like, you're not... It's not offensive. I mean, and maybe that's just because of her past and, you know, and being who she is, Miss Countess. And maybe there's something that you just sort of, like, learn or you just have that allows you to just be that kind of a person. Because I feel like I can be pretty direct, but I feel like it would come, there are times it probably comes across more like Kristen did later in the episode with Ramona, where like you mean well and you're like just trying to be honest and upfront with somebody and just cut to the chase, but like it really comes across not the way that Luann does. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like a little bit looking in like, oh, so maybe that's how I come across. I want to come across like Luann did. Mm-hmm. I got to work on that.
I think that's something that everyone can probably all work on. You know, I mean, yeah. there's
she's
times
mastered
where
it.
Absolutely, where you know you can remain calm and talk about something, and maybe because she wasn't as deeply involved in the situation, like Heather had been kind of snubbed by it, and Ramona had been rude to her. Sonia, her friend leaves, and she doesn't tell her, and then Kristen gets hit. So maybe Luann is able to kind of step outside the argument and be a little bit more relaxed and not so confrontational, knowing it doesn't really affect her or involve her.
Yeah.
You know, when you're involved in a situation, it's obviously going to be harder to let your emotions not take over. And I think when somebody gets upset in the way we see later on with Kristen, her emotions just
took over.
Not really okay, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. But so she asks her, and Heather explains that she feels Ramona, you know, wasn't honest after putting all this effort into planning this weekend. And there's a little bit of argument almost between the girls, more than Ramona
at
times. I feel like, you know, Luann was saying, Heather, stop. And Sonia was saying, I can't get a word in. And they're kind of arguing with each other when they really just needed to get Ramona's perspective and point of view. And I felt like they weren't really getting it because they were almost all talking over each other, trying to bring everything up when they just needed to take it.
One thing at a time, one person at a time.
And that's why Ramona was ready to leave, because she goes, I'm getting attacked from every direction.
I can't get a word in.
And I can't get a word in.
Yeah.
Carol was the only one who wasn't really yelling at her. She was just kind of sitting there quietly.
Yeah, Carol didn't say too much. I mean, the few things she did say, you know,
were calm.
But, yeah, she didn't say too much. And it was interesting because Sonia was invited to the same party. Mm-hmm. So it turns out. And apparently Ramona was sponsoring the wine. She at least that's what she told us, you know, and we have no reason not to believe that her, you know, the Ramona Pinot or, you know, whichever wines were the ones there, and that, you know, she was, you know, and I will say, I mean, I don't know, I don't have a private plane, but I can imagine that if you have a plane at all, that you could probably call and have it there within a few hours if you wanted
to. Within a few hours.
I mean, I definitely don't think that. I really don't think that Ramona had it pre-planned. I think that, like she says, she got uncomfortable and she fled, just like they thought she would do at this intervention, you know, dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one of those where it's like, I don't think that that should excuse anything that she did, but I feel like it wasn't premeditated. It was just sort of like, now because of the circumstance, you know, I'd rather be there than here, so I'm going to do it rather than try to, like, stick this out like I, you know, thought I could.
I think the ladies were mostly just upset by the fact that she wasn't honest about why she was leaving.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's all they wanted to hear. And as she explains now, she said she felt really bad about what she did to Kristen, and it wasn't, she shouldn't have done it, but she felt uncomfortable in the woods, in the situation they were in, and she just wanted to leave and not.
And was it at the lunch, or at the intervention, or was it with her husband that she said that she was embarrassed? Because that's another thing where, like, you do something that you know is wrong, even if you're not ready to admit it, but you feel it, and you're embarrassed that you actually let yourself go there, which she, I mean, I really think she was. That's absolutely, to me, like, another thing where you just sort of retreat. And he's like, you don't want to be there. And kind of because it's like, you have to be accountable then. And if you're embarrassed, it's like you're not really ready to be accountable.
I think the main thing, kind of what we discussed last week, was that she was making so many excuses for why she did what she did. And Ashley and I disagreed, and we saw all of your opinions online on YouTube. Thank you guys for commenting and letting us know what you're thinking about things. We do want to know that, and we appreciate your comments. And thank you for not being mean about it and just, you know, taking a side. That's what we're looking for, because we all have different opinions here, and there's only two of us today. But when there's four of us here, we could have four different opinions. So thank you for doing that. Make sure you're going on to iTunes and YouTube, rating us 5 stars on iTunes and all the other AfterBuzz TV shows 5 stars, and let us know what you're thinking, and continue to jump into the conversation and let us know. But like we kind of said last week, we felt like she wasn't apologetic, and she she was making excuses for why she did what she did.
She absolutely was. Absolutely.
And
not okay.
The only reason I think she felt bad now is because now she's realized it. I don't think she necessarily felt bad right away. I don't think she felt guilty right away. I don't even think she was embarrassed.
She's embarrassed now.
Now she's realized the repercussions.
So that's not why she left. Oh, actually, I think I'm convinced. I think you're right. I do. I do. I think that there's, and knowing because it's Ramona and we kind of know her history with confrontation, and there's a lot of Ramona that we see in this episode that we haven't really seen before. Mm-hmm.
We see so many different sides.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. So yeah, I actually can easily buy into that, mm-hmm. that it was, she's going back now realizing, because in the passion of the crime or whatever, none of that was coming to her mind. And it's true with the way that they drove off. You know.
And I'm proud because she did stay and she did talk to the ladies and they did, it seemed like, yeah. at least work
she
something.
She wanted to leave.
She wanted to leave.
And I actually thought for a minute that she might push Luann. You know, like,
I
it was getting to that point.
I didn't think she
really
would because of what she just did to Kristen. I thought there's no way she's going to do anything else violent right now because otherwise they're straight up going to have, they're going to send her.
Because she was like, her. Stay. You know, yeah. like, and I, like, she was like, please let me leave. You know, like, let me leave. And I just, I was waiting for it, you know, not like a push to fully move her, but just like a little bit of that.
A nudge.
To just, yeah, a nudge. I was kind of like waiting or anticipating a nudge when she decided she wanted to leave. You know, they're like, don't flee, don't leave. Well, and even Heather actually wasn't really loud and outspoken.
No.
I mean, or like just the camera didn't.
We didn't see it.
Like, cut to her enough, or they didn't use, you know, things that she said, but...
Well, the final response we see from Ramona is that she's saying all this just to get them off their back.
Yeah.
And to get away and be done with it. And, you know,
which is too bad. I mean...
It's too bad, but
the
that's
therapy
also
thing,
Ramona.
But, yeah.
Ramona, okay. Jump to therapy when we talk about Mario.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kristen and Kingsley, their 17-month-old daughter that isn't walking yet. I actually don't know what age a baby is supposed to be walking or crawling. That does seem
17 months is how old Kingsley is.
Yeah, but it seems like I is it a year that kids start getting or 14 months? I'm not quite sure on
that. I think crawling and all of that's before a year.
Before a year.
But I don't know. Okay. I mean, walking, I mean it depends. I mean, you have kids that there's
faster.
A range, but clearly Kingsley is on the outside, either like the tail end
behind
of the range or the outside of that range for her age. And it sounds like that they've known that they have known that whatever is causing this like slower development is something that they were going to have to work with. Cause it sounds like mm-hmm. they've been doing this for a while, to get her strong enough and her body and muscles and bones, perhaps where they need to be to like get her going. And it doesn't sound like it's something that they're really worried about long term as
no.
far as that she won't walk or that she won't be able to do certain activities that there, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any limitation. It's just a matter of she has to
she's just behind
be
right
disciplined
now.
And focus a little bit more to actively make sure these things happen.
And they've got this physical therapy set up 3 times a week for 30 minutes a week. And she wants Josh to be there for the therapy since he's usually not
and not
there.
Even every day, like not even all 3 times. It sounds like even once a month would probably satisfy him. I mean, she didn't give a number, but and maybe even less than that, or maybe just even just because I know for me at least, an attitude, it's like the attitude. If you actively talk about wanting to be there and asking about Kingsley and how they went and all of that, and you never make it to one, that's gonna matter more to me than what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like that's where Kristen is. And you know, I look at her and the comments she's made in the past about the time and him being late and all of that, and kind of thinking a little bit maybe she's being unreasonable, you know, the way she approaches him about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now seeing a little bit more into kind of his mentality about family life and kind of out the outside of work realm of his life, I'm kind of like, okay, like she's not being unreasonable. I think she's just trying to talk to him and be like, I don't want you to look back and tell me in 20 years that you regret mm-hmm. the way we lived our lives, you know, and me feeling like you will and not speaking up about it.
I agree with you on that. I definitely think that's something that you read all the time in articles and people saying that they wish they had done all these things back, you know, back in the day. And you don't want to look back on that and miss out on your children's lives or work too much. I mean, obviously, he has to support a family and he is the main, it seems like right now he's the main income
yeah.
in their family. So she, at the same time, does need to be supportive of him and his job. But if he's there, then be there. Be present. it's 30 minutes. I get if you have emails and you have stuff you have to answer, but she makes a really good point saying, if you're in a meeting, are you taking phone calls? Are you doing this? Are you working on this? You have to be focused. So I think that that's the same thing, that if he just was focused that one time and available and there and present in that moment, she wouldn't have gotten so upset.
Agreed. Oh, yeah. No, I think that it's one of those. Or, I mean, I think she would have been less upset if he would have just called and said, I can't make it. Mm-hmm. Than that, you know.
But I'm also on his side because he said, on average, 6 days a week, he's up with the kids at 5 a.m. doing these things, doing the physical therapy with them and playing. Now, she said 4 days a week. He said six. And she goes, well, whatever. She didn't say no. So I believe he probably is 6 days a week.
Up, yeah. But up doing that kind of stuff, I don't know. I mean, up with them, getting them ready and everything,
that's
yes.
That's still
but
quality time with the children.
Agreed.
That's still giving quality time. And I mean, if he doesn't get home till 7 o'clock at night and he's there at the office at 7 o'clock in the morning, that's a long day. That's a 12-hour work day plus 2 hours with the kids. And then when he gets home, you know, you obviously are spending time with your children or, you know, whatever. And he said he just wants her to, you know, every once in a while have dinner on the table. If she wants these romantic gestures and wants flowers every once in a while, then he would like dinner on the table too. I can see how that works both ways. And I see like a communication.
Oh, that conversation has probably happened in 80% of the homes in America with relationships occupying those homes. I mean, have you had a conversation? I've had a conversation like that.
Absolutely.
100, like earlier today.
I heard my mom and dad have the conversation. Oh, aunts, yeah, and uncles, same. Grandparents. Yeah, everybody.
Like, you want flowers? Make me dinner. It's like, okay, that's how it works. But the one thing I will say too, you know, when she says like, I get it, we're not a romantic couple. Like, we're, you know, like that's just, we're just not that way. And it's like, any couple that has made the agreement that they're not a romantic couple was not a mutually decided thing. 100%. Because no woman that I've ever met is going to be upset by a romantic gesture. Some aren't going to, it's not going to matter as much. Some aren't going to need it to feel loved or adored or, you know, those things that we need as women. You know, some women don't need that, but they're not going to be upset with you if you do it. Ever. No. I mean,
it's like if you open a car door, it's not like, you opened my car door. What were you thinking?
You know, and it's crazy because I know guys kind of talk about that sometimes and we're kind of getting off topic, but it's one of those things where it's like some women, you know, with the feminist movement and, you know, I can do it. So why would you bother? Kind of a thing, you know? And so there are women out there like that, but.
And it does go both ways because I know a lot of guy friends, sorry guys that we're getting off topic, but a lot of guy friends that say, I feel I don't like to do it because they're not appreciative of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it depends on every relationship and this relationship. I mean, if they've decided that they're not they're not romantic, obviously you're right. It's more of a one-sided thing.
Because she wants flowers. That's romantic.
But every relationship is different. And if you find a girl that likes her car door being opened, then open it. And she is going to be appreciative of it and love it. And the same thing goes here. If she wants those flowers, then, you know, you do have to kind of, it is a give and take in a relationship. It's not all his fault. It's not all her fault. I'm not saying that he's the greatest husband right now, because I think that he should have been definitely more aware in the, and more present in the physical therapy. It's also editing, but you do, when you're there, you want him to be there. And that's also quality time for them too, as a couple.
Yeah.
To share with Kingsley.
I definitely agreed with Kristen on her point. It was like, well, would you rather the alternative, which is me never wanting you to come home?
And no.
And not, you know what I mean? No.
And not, or not care at all that you're home or not.
Yeah, just, that's going to lead to divorce, which
divorce
I can't imagine.
Cheating or something else.
Yeah. Or
gonna be
all of the
for
above.
That.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, I can't imagine him, you know, actually like looking forward to that path, you know?
I've, from the beginning of the show, though, there's definitely a tension between the two of them. And maybe it's just they both need a little bit of better communication.
I think communication, and it's going to sound so cliche, but communication is kind of the key to a successful relationship because the only time people get disappointed is when expectations aren't met. And that's not even just in romantic relationships. That's in friendships, in any type of relationship. So if you have an expectation and it's not met, you're going to be disappointed. And the reason that your expectation isn't met is most likely because of some sort of miscommunication or lack of communication. You know, and I think that that's just like the whole thing with Ramona. Like, they're disappointed and upset because the communication wasn't there the way that it ought to have been.
She should have just been honest with
them. Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, she clearly communicates with Mario. Well, tries to communicate with Mario during her workout slash wine drinking, and she was anxiety ridden, obviously, because she couldn't even hold a glass. And
she made the joke about. I actually really, it was really endearing to me to see that side of her. You know, where she was sort of like, I should, you know, kind of like poking fun at herself in a way that I felt like was healthy in knowing that it wasn't okay, but being able to make light of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think her making light of it was trying to shove off the seriousness of it. You know what I mean? Because there are people that, or even maybe Ramona, that could do that, where it's, they're trying to make light of it to get out of being in trouble for such a serious crime, per se.
But I think you're right. This is when she was talking about being embarrassed about the situation. And did you know, I mean, what did you think about her relationship with Mario and what we see and what we kind of know and the situation right there and how he was reacting? What did you think about that?
Oh, I just, it's somewhat heartbreaking to watch, you know, and it's hard because it's like, we don't really know, like we think we know, but we don't really know what happened, period, you know, and with filming, it's like, we don't really know what was going on at that particular time because we don't know when this was exactly filmed by the day, you know, so it's one of those things where it was hard to watch, and it's one of those things where I appreciated him just listening. I thought that that was actually one of the things where I'm like, okay, so if this is how he spends a lot of, if this is a lot of how their relationship goes behind closed doors, I can see where he'd be like, look, like I need time with someone else. Now, he didn't go look for it in the right place. You know what I mean? But as far as like having it be like a two-sided thing and having it, like there wasn't really communication. I felt like it was just her talking at him. Now, we as women kind of need that. Like men don't necessarily like to talk and we need to be listened to. Yeah.
She was venting about a situation, so he's obviously going to listen.
And I just felt like,
her.
I felt like his answers a little bit were, I don't want to say he wasn't listening to her, but a little bit just sort of vague and like unconcerned. Just kind of like he was a little bit checked out of the conversation and of listening, where it's like just the sort of candid, obvious answers to
me. Normally, we were both talking about this. Like, I write a lot of notes and try to make sure we've got details down. And I couldn't write notes because I had to watch what was going on and see all the words that weren't said in each other's, you know, responses that were just all in their face. You know, their reactions. Not just what they were saying, but what was left unsaid. And I couldn't write notes because I wanted to literally focus and see
how they were reacting to each
other.
Well, and it was interesting because she said something about needing therapy. Or, you know, do I, the girl said. And he just kind of laughed.
Well, what did he say? He said that you know, she doesn't need to peel back the layers. He doesn't like to go to the woods because he doesn't want to get poison ivy. And she goes, oh, that's why I don't like going to the woods. I don't want to get poison ivy. Thank you. And he's like, you know, you can pay me later or whatever.
Yeah.
So they kind of blew it off. I do think therapy might be beneficial for Ramona because this issue, and if she has been piling all this stuff on it, it will one day come out, kind of like maybe it did in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And maybe you do need to peel back that layer to work through it so that you don't get upset walking into the woods.
And that's kind of where I feel like as a husband, he just sort of like gave the like,
not
like obvious,
the, or unconcerned the response.
Yeah. I mean, it was just sort of like, well, if I admit that you need therapy, then I'm going to be here for an extra 2 hours trying to talk to you about why you need therapy in a way that's loving but not attacking. You know, it's like, I just think he didn't want to deal with having to get into a deeper conversation. And so he just sort of, you know, threw it aside and just kind of said, no, you don't, you know, I don't like the woods either. Like, it's not a big deal that you don't like the woods. And it's like, no, it's not a big deal that she doesn't like the woods, but why she doesn't like the woods, you know, or the reason that she's giving, because even if the reason she doesn't like the woods is poison ivy, truly, but she's saying that it's because of where she was raised and how she was raised, then there's still something there that needs to be discussed and uncovered. And I don't know if it's with a therapist. I don't know if she just needs to do some soul searching. I don't know if she just needs people around her to listen and be honest with her in a non-threatening way. You know, I don't have an education to speak on that, but I definitely feel like
it's not going to hurt her. Once again, we're back in a situation where seeing a therapist isn't going to hurt her.
I wouldn't think so.
It's only going to help the situation. You know.
And she actually seems in this episode, more open than I've ever seen. More open. I mean, she does make the comment like, no, I don't think I need therapy. You know, I'm just wanted to shut him up. You know, but I definitely feel like this, there is this new side of her. And so maybe she would be more open to just at least trying it.
I think once. I think that was a response to kind of throw it away. Mm-hmm. But that she actually maybe does think that it would be helpful. And that's why she asks Mario then. Because it's in her, she's thinking about it. And so she's going, she goes to the person she does love that does know her the best.
And she thinks we'll be honest. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like it's sort of like, he could have just said something like, you know, it wouldn't hurt. Or like,
I'm
if you're
sure
thinking,
they all see therapists.
If you're thinking about it, then, you know, just go try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to sign your life away to a therapist.
No.
But that's not what he said. And his comments about like going back to, you know, working out again when he was like leaving the room. And that was the first of two comments about these husbands, like getting their wives to work out. And I'm just like, ugh, my husband will not talk to me that way.
Good to set it right away. All right. So next up, we have a little double date with Luann and Carol and Jacques and Nick. You're in love with Nick.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in love with Carol, too. I mean, she was such a doll. And I loved how giggly and flirty and nervous. And I loved Luann's point, you know, wait, girl, you wrote the book on this. You know, the
you should be better at this.
Yeah. And I kind of love that little poke at her. But I think it was actually, again, like, you know, I'm not a therapist, but I took some classes in college, you know, where you learn about human behavior and motivations and things. And so I definitely thought it was like a healthy, fun thing to see her nervous. And because it's like she's excited, like she's ready again to be out there doing this. And there's obviously a little bit of a attraction or interest if she's being this way. And I think that those are all really good things, especially for someone, you know, that's got everything else going on. She's got the home here in LA and the home in New York and, you know, the friends and the career. And, you know, it's like, that's the only part of her life that's in a way missing. Maybe she doesn't see it as missing,
she wants someone there.
Yeah. I mean,
she
had that. And so I think that it's like, it is kind of that missing piece. And so it's fun to see her just kind of in her element, but not in her element.
I was totally with Jacques on this.
Really?
Jock.
She just was like,
I was totally like,
screwing it up.
Oh my gosh, start writing downgrades here, girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, no, I loved every bit of it. I did.
I just felt bad for her because Luann makes that point. You wrote this. How are you so bad at this?
But I mean, obviously, I don't think they're together.
To the right guy, it's going to be endearing and it is going to be cute. I think he was just trying to be polite. I think he was a gentleman.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he was a gentleman and just trying to be polite. I don't think she said anything that was detrimental.
Well, she did bring up, I was just going to say, the orgasms thing and that. Like, that's a little forward to start talking about on a first meet.
But it's open. It's open, and I mean, he knows that.
Yeah, but
okay,
this is somebody that you might have sex with. You don't go telling him that 75% of women fake orgasms.
I
or
agree
whatever
with you,
it, I mean.
But I'm also not in my 40s and single. I am in my 30s, but I'm
but
30.
Still.
Not shouldn't even say 30s, but I'm not at that point in my life where I think that as you get older, you become more open about certain things. I mean, when
but
I was
on
young,
a first date. I mean,
yes,
I'm open.
Absolutely,
I'm open in my 20s, but I don't. I'm not going to talk about how women fake their orgasms to a guy that I might have sex with.
I'm not
with.
Either. But think about it. When you're in your late teens, early 20s, when you talk to a guy, did you talk about the fact that you wanted kids one day?
Not on a first date.
I do.
On a first date.
Because I want to know. There's no way to know. I don't want to waste any time. I want to know.
On
do you
a
wanna,
first date?
Maybe not a first
that,
date.
That changes maybe to me. That changes everything.
Maybe not a first date, but literally.
And not
within,
a double date.
And not maybe not a double date. But right in the beginning, I want to know these things right away because I don't want to waste your time and I don't want
agreed.
You to waste my
no,
time.
I think that if there's obvious deal breakers and lifestyle choices like that, they should get brought up sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying on a first date, double date, that was a lot because you're putting not just the person you're there with on the spot. You're kind of putting the other couple on the spot. Now, not that Luann and Jacques couldn't handle it because they were definitely throwing their own out there.
I just think that as we get older as women, we know what we want more and it's easier to talk about these things and be open about these things. And the culture that we live in, it makes it much easier to talk about these things since it's everywhere.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's why she did it. I think it was a nervous
I love that side. I love seeing this like giggly little
and that's why I said kind of
an attitude.
I don't think she said anything that was detrimental to him not ever calling her again. I think that there definitely should have been no reason that they didn't have a second date on their own. But yeah. I was surprised to see her as nervous as she was. I thought.
Oh, agreed. That's what I loved about it. It was unsuspected.
I thought she'd hold her own a little bit better.
Yeah, but it was unsuspected. And that's what I loved about it. I don't think you could have guessed that she would have been that nervous.
No.
And I think that's why I loved it, because it's just like, oh, this girl that's got it all together, like, still gets like little schoolgirl giddy kind of. Yeah. And he was so
cute.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, had his ducks in a row. Well, she said there were two Neil Gregorys and he goes, my name's Nick. And she goes, no, I know your name was Nick.
Because I looked up Neil Gregory and it wasn't Googled you. Him. And I asked you then.
Do you Google your dates?
No. I don't. I mean,
I am a crazy person because I'm like looking on Facebook. I'm like, I just want to make sure you're normal and you're not going to kill me.
But I mean, how would you know? I don't know.
In Los Angeles, too. I mean, everyone's an actor. So the second you look them up, you find out what they did. You know, you find out what they did. But I'm the type of person where even my mom will sometimes like look up the person.
That's why I don't, because my mom would do the same thing. If I gave her a name, oh my gosh.
But she's worried about me. And like I said, I don't want to date some serial killer or date some like weird creepy guy that's like.
Well, of course not. But you think it's going to say serial killer on his Facebook account?
No, but I think I'll be able to tell. I won't be able to tell. But
you won't be able to tell.
Carol, I'm with you on Googling the man. 100%. Go ahead and do that.
I will say I have recently Googled someone because of this, but I know he's Googleable. Like, I know stuff would come up about him.
Good
stuff.
Oh, okay.
Good stuff. But it's one of those things. Well, I mean, there could have been bad stuff. There was no bad stuff that I could find. So yes, I Google, but it's like, if I met a guy in a bar or like at a restaurant or something, I'm not going to Google him because I'm not going to assume that he's Googleable. An actor is Googleable.
Yes.
Is that even a word, Googleable?
I don't know. We're starting it right now. Hashtag Googleable. We just started this trend.
I'm going to have to check if that is a word. Anyway, but so, yes, I will say I have and would if I thought that there was actually something that could turn up.
And the reason she Googled him was actually because she wanted to put a name to a face.
Because they'd met.
She said she had 100%, you know, remembered him from when they met. So she was checking just to see.
Yeah.
So I get that, too. It wasn't.
Yeah,
she wasn't stalking
I get that
him
too.
Or anything.
No, exactly.
All right.
But not to say that one couldn't.
No. Everyone's findable on
something
nowadays.
Yeah, somewhere on the internet.
Everyone's
you
got
exist.
An Instagram account. And you just have to look it up. All right. Cool. Let's talk about our final scene that we saw between Ramona and Kristen. Meeting for tea. Kristen's a little bit nervous because she thinks that Ramona's going to throw something hot on her. And, you know, Ramona, she goes, oh, gosh, she's standing up. What is she standing up for? And she hands her flowers.
She's holding flowers. I mean, obviously the flowers are for you, Kristen.
Not to throw at you, to give to you. And gives a real, genuine, honest apology. First time in two episodes that I actually felt the apology was real. And she really meant it and truly realized what she did was wrong. And she was looking to fix things.
I felt like at one point, Kristen like kind of tried to like chime in. And Ramona was like insistent, like, no, you're going to let me do this. And she would say, you know, I'm sorry. No, I'm really am sorry. She said it a couple of times. And I agree. Wholeheartedly, 100%, humbled herself to be open and honest about how she really felt with the situation with Kristen.
And Kristen's shocked.
Yeah. I mean, and rightfully so. That's probably the last thing I would have expected.
After everything she'd been...
Yeah, everything that you saw before you were ever involved in a conflict with Ramona, you know, and you just witnessed or heard about because of the conflicts going on with the other women, everything that you've experienced yourself actually in conflict with her, yeah, that's the last thing that you're going to assume is the case.
That she would, mm-hmm. So what did you think of Kristen's response to the apology?
I didn't love it. I mean, I love Kristen, and this is sort of where I feel like I was sort of seeing a little bit of myself, or kind of what I'm like, oh crap, maybe I come across this way sometimes, and I don't think I am. Like, I really feel like Kristen thought she was trying to help. I really feel like she was honestly thinking that she was being just direct and more like Luann. Like she was, I think it's like, we feel like we're coming across like Luann, but in reality, I think she kind of came across aggressive, a little abrasive, and not at all receptive of the apology. Like I feel like she didn't even acknowledge at all what Ramona just said. You know, if you just saw what Kristen said and you hadn't seen what Ramona said, and you ask somebody, okay, you know, what was said to her to provoke this reaction, I don't think a single thing Ramona said would have been what somebody would have guessed.
No.
And that's just too bad, because I really felt like that was a moment that they could have at least cleared the air to be civil, to be around each other if they were both invited to something. They don't have to be friends. They probably won't. Because as soon as Kristen kind of got that way, Ramona went right back into defensive. And well, there's something about you that bothers me.
And kind of a And I think maybe because Kristen was so shocked by Ramona's apology, she didn't know how to respond, so it almost fired her up and angered her more. I don't understand why. Yeah. That doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, and maybe she doesn't. Maybe she didn't think it was genuine, like we do. I don't know.
It was definitely making it more dramatic than it needed to be. There was an apology there, and she just, I feel like now, has just drawn this out even more.
Yeah.
I feel like they can't really be friends and get along the way they would be able to if it was just, okay, we're going to move past this.
Yeah.
Kind of like Aviva and Carol, even though nothing has been resolved, but at least, okay, if we have to be in the same room, we can be there together. I feel like there's still going to be this tension.
Now that there's going to be Aviva back. We haven't really seen them together since.
And like you said, as soon as she said that, Ramona starts to get defensive, and she's like, well, I'm going to go spend time with Avery, and, you know, I want to spend time with my child before she leaves her college. And then, so then Kristen gets on the defensive saying, well, like, I'm not a good mother.
And I think it is different.
They just don't click.
Was definitely different before my brother went to college, you know, like in that before, you know, so not, and it's in no way saying Kristen's a bad mom for not spending time with her kids, or
different.
Saying that Kristen isn't spending time with the kids, but I really do feel like it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of felt like this was a different side of Kristen. And I think she wasn't trying to be malicious. I think she was really trying to help, and it just came across a little bit harsher than even she, like, I would really be interested to see what she feels about it watching it back.
I think having Heather or somebody else there to mediate would have been beneficial for this conversation, because they would have calmed Kristen down and would have approached Ramona about what she needs to work on maybe in a different way, instead of Kristen, like you said, being really abrasive about it.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what the fallout is.
And we didn't even get any closure or any insight on this, the dinner party that Sonia did. We just are, like, trying to plan cards.
The party.
And in the previews
it.
For next week, it doesn't look like we see the dinner party.
No,
just a very weird little
next
clip.
Week, we've got her having the doggy funeral.
Yes.
We've got Aviva back having a dinner party for her dad and her dad's new girlfriend and talking about waxing a very inappropriate body part.
Right.
And we also see Kristen working out, and this is what upset you.
Oh my gosh. Again, her husband's like, well, when are you going to be able to get rid of that pooch? To
As
the
if
trainer.
She has one.
Right?
I don't think that girl
I'm
has
like,
an ounce
of fat on
her body.
I'm like, go pinch your stomach and you show me that pooch, mister.
Goodness, if there's a little extra loose skin from having two children, that is all there is.
17 months ago, mind you.
She does not have a pooch at
I
all.
Have baby weight to get rid of, and I didn't even have a baby. So leave her alone.
Yes. Predictions for next week. Let's jump into some predictions.
Okay. I think, I think that the doggy funeral is going to be a little silly. We already kind of see them throwing the ashes, and it's like, they're like, oh, it's getting back on the cement. I think it's not to say that you can't or shouldn't have pet funerals. If you want to need that closure, and if your pets are like children or family members to you, absolutely, you know, do what you need to do to grieve and mourn it, you know, and move forward. But I just sort of feel like it looks like it's a very big, it's like throwing a 1 year old a $30,000 first birthday
it's
party.
A little bit more of a private
thing. Looks like it was a big to do. And I just would never do that. That's
I would
not
have
my
a private
style.
One for my, you know, with my family, but maybe not all of my friends there.
Yeah. Like that looked more formal than my funeral would probably be. They were
yes,
to the nines in their
yes,
black and, you know, with the, so.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing what's going to happen at this dinner party.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's only Aviva, so it's not any of the other housewives.
Wasn't Sonia there?
Was Sonia there?
I thought she was, because I thought she said something to Aviva's
Harry?
Dad.
I didn't see that, but I'm interested to see.
Unless that was Sonia's dinner
Aviva's
party.
Aviva's dad always causes craziness whenever he's around, so meeting his new girlfriend, I'm sure, is going to be an adventure, and all sorts of topics to talk about next week about that. Yeah. But
what's a man of his age doing getting anything waxed, let alone
his
manly
part? He's so out there and open about things, more than I would ever expect.
Well, maybe that's with age also, like we talked about with Carol.
Well, my dear, where can they find you?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at Cohen, C-O-U-H-E-N.
And you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. My blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com. And tonight, for the season finale of Supernatural, we'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.